And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. I am your host, and we come your way every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, bringing you new paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And we are here every Saturday streaming live at richarddugan.com, and the program is also available in an archive format. After the broadcast ends, it'll be put up there, 15, 20, 30 minutes after, and then you can go there and direct your friends to go there and listen to the program that we've had on, such as the program we're going to do today with a returning guest to many of you. You may remember Dr. Eric Pearl. He is the developer, if you will, the creator, the discoverer of The Reconnection. There is a book in 36 languages called The Reconnection, although I don't know how it's pronounced in all the other 35 languages. Nonetheless, Eric, it is absolutely a pleasure to have you back on the program again today, especially to talk about some monumental things that are happening at the end of this month of September.
Well, I'm so glad to be back on.
You have been involved with this process that you have called The Reconnection for how long?
It started in August of 1993 on a Thursday, and I cannot seem to figure out which Thursday it is. Many times I have tried.
Well, I think that there are probably many people who are glad that you did back way back then, because many people have been helped by this process that teaches all of us how to heal others and also heal ourselves. And through that process of healing, it frees us up to go about doing, I guess, as some people would say, our purpose. It gets us back on track. Because if you're stuck in your illness, your dis-ease, your discomfort, whatever it is, it's kind of hard to focus on other things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really quite interesting. The gifts that you receive often tend to be when you're most focused on helping someone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, as a matter of fact, even the way this started, I did not consciously, anyway, plan this. It's like, you know, I went home on a Friday thinking I was a chiropractor. I came back in on a Monday and I was something else. Now, my parents have always told me I was something else, but this is not what they had in mind. I'll give, you know, for the audience, for the listeners, let me give the background story in a sort of semi-nutshell here. And not to use the pun of nut, but it already came out.
That's
anyhow,
right.
I was a doctor of chiropractic, practicing for 12 years. I had a very large practice here in Los Angeles. And one night I was home asleep, and I was awakened by this bright light that came bursting through my eyes. I opened my eyes to see what it was, and it wasn't anything seemingly spiritual or metaphysical. It was just the lamp next to my bed. It had turned itself on. Now, I had had that lamp for a good 10 years at that point, and it had not selected any other propitious occasion to self-ignite, but there it was. At the same, and I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe it's some kind of an electrical short or something, except shorts usually turn things off, so maybe it was a long, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Something strange was going on. But at the same time, even equally or more acutely, I became aware that I sense someone in my home. I cannot explain what an uncomfortable feeling that is to wake up and feel the presence of someone in your house. So let's just say I got up very bravely with a nice can of pepper spray and my Doberman pincher, and I went hunting. After about 20 minutes, I realized that there was someone there, and yet I also realized that it wouldn't matter how long or hard I looked, I'd never find them. And if I didn't get back to bed, I'd be a wreck for my patients the next day. So for some strange reason, I went back to sleep. That Monday, when I went into my office, seven of my patients, each independent of one another, said to me, I felt someone in the room with us while I was lying there on the table. Some said standing, some said walking, some said running, and two of them actually looked me straight in the eye and said it felt as if somebody was flying around the ceiling. Now, you would think, you know, this is my 12th year in practice. No one had ever said anything like this to me before. So seven patients in one day, you would think that this would have gotten my attention. But no, because, you see, other patients are saying, I can feel your hands before you touch me. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, sure, you can. Close your eyes. So they'd close their eyes, and I'd stand 1 or 2 or 3 yards away from them, and I'd aim my palm toward their shoulder or their foot or somewhere, and they'd chop me, you know, right ankle, left shoulder, you know, right hand. They could tell where I was, so it became a game because, well, it was my office, and I could have whatever games I wanted. So as I played with this, my palm blistered on multiple occasions, and my palm bled once, actually, not like a stigmata or anything like that, of course. More as if you accidentally took a needle or a pin and stuck yourself, that little bit of blood that comes out. And yet, nothing really noticeable from that itself, except suddenly people start having healings. I mean, real, substantial healings. They're getting up out of wheelchairs and reporting that their vision and their hearing is returned and showing reports where they're from hospitals where their cancer tumors have vanished, and parents are calling me and telling me that their kids with cerebral palsy and epilepsy are running and playing and speaking normally and not having seizures any longer, and they're asking, what did I do? And I said, nothing, and don't tell anyone, which went over about as big as Nancy Reagan just saying no to drugs. So soon people started coming in from everywhere going, I'll have what she had. And the next thing we know, people are calling and saying, teach this. And I said, teach it? You're going to be crazy. How the heck do you teach something like this? I'm standing there. You know, no one gave me an instruction manual. I'm standing there waving my hands there, looking like an idiot. Wave your hands in the air, look like an idiot. Tell me what happens. You know, but what was going on was that when my patients would leave my office, they'd go home, and they'd call me up, and they'd tell me that when they walked into their home, their lamp or television or, you know, sound system started turning itself off and on and off and on, and their garage doors would open and close, and they would feel sensations in their hands, and they would hold their hands near someone in the family, and the grandfather could walk after the stroke, and the uncle regained the use of his speech. And we found that once you interact with this, what science today is calling a new genre of healing, once we interact with this, we seem to be able to access it to bring forth and facilitate healings for others. Now, the majority of the researchers are pretty much agreed that this is here on the planet for the first time, and they explain quite simply how they think that, which I'll explain in a minute. But what they're not quite sure of is how it becomes activated in other people once we experience it. Some of them feel that it ignites or activates dormant receptor cells, you know, in that kind of an art bellian fashion. Others say that it seems to activate a consciousness or an awareness of something that's already existed, or create something new. By creating an awareness or a consciousness, it makes us more multidimensional. So there's multiple theories on how it works. What we do know from the research is that people are physically changed once they interact with this, and appear to be changed for the rest of their lives. And I said to the researchers when they were saying that this is new, it's here on the planet for the very first time, I said, that's a rather gutsy, bold kind of a statement to make. And what would make you feel comfortable in saying something like that? And they said, well, it really makes sense if we understand two basic concepts. The first concept is that we are four-dimensional beings. Now, you know, of course, you know, you and I and most everyone listening to the show, when we went to school, we were all taught that we were three-dimensional beings. The three dimensions, as we know, were height, width, and depth.
Mm-hmm.
But Einstein had been telling us since the 1950s, what science, you know, just immediately picked up just 50 years later, just like that, that we are four-dimensional beings, the fourth dimension being time. So here we are, four-dimensional beings, height, width, depth, and time, and in quantum physics, they illustrate this, or they draw it, oftentimes as a bubble. So if you want to imagine yourself staring at some supersized multi-magnum of champagne and focus in on one tiny little champagne bubble, that could represent our little four-dimensional existence in this huge vast, endless, multidimensional universe. And the wall, or the cell of that bubble, is comprised of height, width, depth, and time. And the interior of that bubble, its capacity, has been filled with energy, just as we've always been taught everything here has been energy. But here comes what helps us begin to understand this change. Time is moving faster. Now, we can talk about this from multiple different perspectives. Most commonly, you know, discussed today in many circles is relating it to the shift that started to be distinguishably noticed starting around 1987, around the time of the harmonic convergence that seems to be expanding and expanding into what people think is going to maybe give itself a peak, or at least its next level, at around 2012. But time is moving faster, not just faster in a linear fashion like the way we think of a car race with a beginning, a middle, and an end, but faster in all directions at once. So if you picture like a little pinpoint and arrows suddenly racing out from that pinpoint in every single conceivable direction at once, that's what's happening. So in other words, time is moving faster, but in all directions at once, which really means time is opening up or expanding. In other words, our little four-dimensional playground or bubble, our tiny little champagne bubble in this huge, endless, multidimensional universe, is expanding further and further outward and encompassing much more than the energy that's existed here before. Much more than just energy, but it's now expanding out to encompass more of what's always existed in the universe, mm-hmm. but has not been here on the planet before. Levels of light and information that we simply haven't had. Now, this doesn't always excite all of the New Agers, because many of them, led by ego, want everything to be old, because then they can say, yes, yes, I know it's true, because I remember it from my past life in Lemuria or Atlantis, you know, and it lets them feed their egos. Well, guess what? Sometimes something is just new, and isn't that wonderful? And that's what this appears to be, a new level of healing that the researchers internationally are saying they don't think is a new level of energy healing. It's not just a new modality, and it's not just energy healing. It seems to be its own field, its own genre that's made its appearance here that is so all-encompassing, so comprehensive, that it includes all the energy healing that we've known of to date, Reiki, Jirai, Jin, Qigong, Mahjong, Beijing, EFG, XYZ, Quantum, Mismatch, Rasat, Alpha, Beta, Delta, Gamma, it doesn't matter what you call it, and takes us way beyond that into a spectrum of energy, light, and information. So this new field of healing completely incorporates everything we've had up until now and takes us to levels that is still continuing to expand, and research is racing to try to see how much more of it can understand each and every day.
It is almost a race with the mind to try to keep up with everything that you're sharing here, only from the standpoint that, on the one hand, there seems to be so much information about all of this. But I think that it's best, maybe, I don't want to even say necessarily summarized, but at least it's addressed in a more concise matter for most people in the context of a movie that's coming out. We want to talk about that as well, and two other events that are coming up here shortly, in two events here in September and one in October. We're going to talk about that more with our guest, Dr. Eric Pearl. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. I want you to stay right where you are, and we will be back with more of the program. Again, bringing you new paradigms for a new world. This is Tell Me Your Story.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
July got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Close. Very swinging sound here in the Bill Hart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
Okay, stand by. They want to get you a mail hold right now before they go. No, go. Stand by.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless. and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Are addictions ruining your life? Have you lost hope and long to discover help for a brighter tomorrow? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
You can do a lot in an hour. You can jog 5 miles, mow a lawn. It's enough time to change your oil or donate the blood someone will need to survive. An hour can be a powerful thing. So just imagine what CSX employees get done when they volunteer 350,000 hours a year to hundreds of causes. We don't just wait for change. We help drive it. To learn more, go to csx.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you.
It haunts me too.
Yes, and I do know how you feel. Oh, come on, walk with me. Talk with me. Tell me your story.
New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, coming your way every Saturday at 3 p.m. and streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. That's RichardDugan.com. You can listen to the program live. You can listen to the programs after they've been live. They are archived on the radio shows page. You can also go to our schedules page and see who's coming up each week as we continue to add guests. And I am actually kind of astounded, and I've actually kind of slowed things down a little bit. I'm booked all the way into January of 2010, which in one sense, as far as the universe is concerned, is rather presumptuous to start scheduling things that far in advance, not really knowing what plans the universe has. But, you know, maybe that's what the universe has planned. We'll find out. New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices. And one of those choices is the reconnection with my guest, Dr. Eric Pearl. And we have had an opportunity over the years to speak. I've actually had a great privilege of attending one of your seminars up in Sedona, Arizona, when I was living back in Phoenix, back, I'm going to say, 7 or 8 years ago. And you were talking, as we went to break, you were talking about time and how it's moving faster and all those kinds of things. And I'll tell you, when I start looking back at my life and the various events, especially the ones that stand out, it's like, didn't that just happen? You know, kind of thing. And even as I look in the mirror at my physical body, it's like, who is that guy? I don't feel like that guy looks. And I don't mean that I'm looking sad or anything, but it's like the physical body still has the process of aging to some degree, although I was paid a rather nice compliment by someone the other day. I said, oh, you look 35, and you're about 14 years off, kid. But that was very nice. I was very appreciative of that. But I don't feel like I look. And I bet you you're the same way when you think of the physical body versus that which is truly you, that essence of you that's looking out through those eyes and listening through those ears, doesn't feel that
way. You know, I talk to a lot of people, though, and, you know, the majority of people stop aging inside, and they feel a certain age, and that's the age that they stay, and they get confused sometimes when the mirror keeps moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, there's always plastic surgery, so what the hell if it gets that bad?
Well, you know, I've actually, and not that I've had any, but I've actually accepted the reality that, you know, if you don't feel comfortable with the way you look and you've tried everything else, hey, more power to you, because it's more important. I'll be honest with you. I don't know, just becoming more aware of how important it is for us to feel comfortable in our skin. I think
it really is. There's stigma that's been placed on things for no real reason. There's like there are lines that are drawn in the sand, but where are they?
And who drew them?
For instance, you know, we cut our hair. Well, how come someone can cut their hair but they can't put on makeup? Then how come someone could put on makeup? And how come, you know, 30 years ago, a guy couldn't color their hair, and now, you know, you go to the colleges, and, you know, the guy's hairs are highlighted, or this, that, and the other. And so then at a certain point in time, you couldn't get your nose fixed, no matter how bad it was, and then you could, but only if it was really ugly, and then you could do this, and then you could do that. The point is wake up, you know? If we want to decorate ourselves on the outside, let us look more the way we feel on the inside. Knock yourselves out. Who's anyone else to open up their mouth about it?
Well, besides, I take
not that you and I aren't sitting here having our own conversation, but you know.
Well, and I was just thinking about those the old Volkswagen buses. I mean, you've seen some of those that have been highly decorated, and actually, some of them are looking kind of cool, in my opinion. I mean, I just kind of think that's pretty creative. So, this is just a vehicle. You know, and, you know, maybe you have to take into consideration the place that you work or live and those types of things. Well, then maybe you might want to consider working or living somewhere else so that you can
feel
comfortable.
Yeah, let them take you into consideration for a change.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, now, before we go any further, because I don't want to lose track of this, and we're going to mention this before we end the program as well. You wanted
to go into Living Matrix, I think.
Living Matrix, yes, but you have something coming up before September 30th.
That's true.
Tell me about it. Tell everyone about it.
You know, I'm on the road about 45 weeks each year. The book, The Reconnection, is in 36 languages, I believe, right now. And this will be our annual Los Angeles conference where we teach you how to do this healing work that we do. So the seminar will be here at the Hilton in Universal City. September 25, 26, 27. And what happens at the seminar basically is this. On that Friday night, the 25th, I'll give a three-hour presentation in which we'll talk about the history, the research behind it, the theory. We'll give everyone a chance to feel it in their hands if possible. And we'll also bring up volunteers from the audience to do demonstrations, live demonstrations of the healing, so you can actually see the reality of the work. Saturday and Sunday, September 26 and 27, is the working seminar. That's when we are teaching you actually how to do this work. And I warn everyone right now, do not come to this seminar if you think it's going to be another seminar where everyone sits around, holds hands, ohms, and sings Kumbaya, My Lord, because it's not going to happen that way. As you know, this is my personality, and I don't get prettier. It's a very focused learning seminar. We demonstrate a level of the work from the stage in the center of the room. Then we move to the side of the room where there are massage tables. There's usually one massage table for every four people, and we work either sometimes in groups of two and sometimes in groups of four. I will walk around to each table, and so will our trained international team of teaching assistants who will be in from around the world. We'll come around to the different tables, and we'll work with you. We'll show you how to move your hand in a certain way where you can learn to pick up a certain sensation, and you'll see the person who's lying there on the table. You'll see their body go into involuntary movements. We'll show you how to glide your hands to a different place, and you'll see their body, their involuntary movements change. We'll take you somewhere else, and you'll see the movements change another way again, and then we'll go back to the chairs, talk about what we did, demonstrate the next level, and go back to the tables. And this will be pretty much the bulk of the weekend, interspersed with learning and understanding the consciousness of the philosophy of the universal laws and principles of healing. And by the end of that weekend, by Sunday the 27th, I can pretty much promise you two things. A, you'll be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that I can do. And B, you'll be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that any human being on this planet can do, whether they work out of a church deep in Brazil and change their last name to be of God, or whether they were raised by monks in a cave in a mountaintop in Tibet and fed grains of seed flown in and the beaks of individual birds, each hand painted in their own chakra colors. It makes no difference, because all we can really do is allow ourselves to access the fullest form of healing that comes through, and the only way to do that is to transcend the techniques themselves, including the fear-based rituals and all of the protections, because every time we do a protection, what we're really doing is we're bringing fear into the equation. And once we're willing to transcend the fear, lack, and limitation and step into love, prosperity, and abundance and transcend the techniques, there's a new level of healing that we can hit. So that's what's going on that weekend.
Now, before we go to the other one that chronologically follows, we're going to jump to October, still in Los Angeles, for the 7th Annual U.S. Mastery Conference, Science, Consciousness, and Healing.
Shoot, that'll be the following weekend. That'll be October
That's right.
2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And what we're doing there is we're bringing in researchers and other teachers from around the world. First of all, we'll have Dr. Raymond Moody, who's one of the pioneers of life-after-death experiences, and current-day speaker on the same subject, Dr. Danion Brinkley. They'll both be present there. So will Catherine Brinkley, Danion's wife, will be presenting. Dr. Joe Dispenza will be there. We will have researchers in from around the world. We'll have Dr. William Tiller from Arizona. We'll have Dr. Gary Schwartz from the University of Arizona. And Konstantin Karatkov will fly in from Russia. So will Anne Baldwin be flying in. And they'll be doing research on the people who are there at the conference. There are also some of them going to set up some pre-research programs that will be going on during that previous weekend when we're teaching a Level 1-2 seminar, September 25 through 27. And if you would like to be involved in this research, if you're attending either the seminar or the conference, if you contact us at thereconnection.com, to contact us at thereconnection.com and let us know in advance that you're planning on attending and you want to be involved in the research by some of these world-renowned researchers, then you can play that role and you'll be part of actual, legitimate, intended-to-be-published data.
And again, that's thereconnection.com. You can go there. We are also linked there at richarddugan.com, so you can get there one way or the other. Thereconnection.com and find out more about these. Now, the reason I left the Living Matrix until last was because I've had the privilege of actually seeing...
Well, you know what? Can I stop you?
Yes.
Stop you one second, because right before we get into Living Matrix, let me tell everyone one surprise that I didn't mention.
Uh-oh.
About the Mastery Conference.
Uh-oh.
That is... We are also having Dr. Danny Drubin come in, and he has been a practice-building expert teaching doctors and other healthcare professionals how to start, build, and develop the practices that are based on touching as many people with healing as possible day in and day out. So if you are a healing practitioner or intend to be and don't just want to be the person who does a healing session after dinner or on a Saturday, but would like to make your living this way so your life can be filled day in and day out of bringing healings to people, then Dr. Danny Drubin will be there with a practice building seminar to teach you how to do that.
Very cool. That's great. I think that seems to be one of the things I was going to sort of dovetail into in reference to your past as a chiropractor, that it wasn't, I mean, it took quite a long time for a chiropractic in itself to become part of the, if you will, the mainstream of health and well-being. You'd go in. I mean,
we all know why.
Well, sure, we all know why. But regardless of the reasons why, which we won't go into on this program, that's for a whole nother politically oriented program. But what I'm seeing is that more and more of these, I'll call them new modalities, regardless of what it is, especially in regards to the reconnection, this whole concept and dialogue about the energy and quantum physics this process of healing and alternative methods, if you will, is becoming more and more widely accepted by more and more people who 30 years ago either A, had no clue, 20 years ago probably didn't want to have anything to do with it because it was this woo-woo stuff, and now today they're learning how to do it themselves.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I've taught, we've taught over 60,000 people so far all around the world, and I believe of over 70 countries, how to do reconnective healing. And of those 60,000, a good 20%, meaning a good 12,000 people, are mainstream healthcare practitioners, doctors, nurses, physical therapists, medical researchers. Another 30% or so are, how should we say this, teachers, masters, grandmaster teacher healers, and all the various different energy healing techniques who have gotten to a level so high in the technique that they recognize the technique itself had at that point become the limitation. But the other 50% of the people are people like you and I, the mainstream world, who, you know, are willing to say, well, you know, I really didn't want to get involved with having to worry about move my hands three times clockwise and two times counterclockwise and spray the alcohol to the west corner while you're standing on one foot touching your nose and shake it off and breathe it into a count of four and blow it out to a count of eight and, heaven forbid, don't eat anything in the energy healing room and all the garbage that we have been taught, all the fear-based lack and limitation that we've been taught in the healing world, forgetting that healing is not based in fear, lack, and limitation.
That's
healing
right.
resides over here in love, prosperity, and abundance, and we have to step into love, prosperity, and abundance to be able to access it. So apparently now the rest of the mainstream world is saying, look, there's something real. There's something much more different now. It's not just, oh, my hands feel warm and I'm very relaxed. Now people are getting up and no longer having cerebral palsy or epilepsy or other healings are happening. They're happening instantaneously. They're happening lifelong. They're documented around the world. It's being practiced in hospitals and universities, and the world wants to get there. But you see, part of the limitation has been where the mainstream world is now walking into this faster than some of the metaphysical world was, because we have been taught in the metaphysical world the I, me, it's all about me approaches to healing, because we have been being taught by teachers, however, not really by masters. And the distinction is that the energy healing techniques that we've been learning, including the books, that the new books that come out each year and each month, new books and new forms of Reiki and quantum this and mattress that and all these things, they're like training wheels on a bicycle, which definitely training wheels on a bicycle are important. I mean, if you have a very small child who wants to climb up onto a very big bicycle, believe me, you're the first one to recognize the value of a good set of
yes.
Right? But
yes.
They help your child, you know, begin to develop his or her sense of balance and not come home bleeding, broken, bruised, and crying. But once he or she has begun to develop their sense of balance, you, as the wise adult, you step in and you do the only wise thing. You remove the training wheels so that they can then learn to master the bicycle itself. Well, this is a consciousness and mastery. I mean, the gift of the training wheels comes only in their transcendence. Our energy healing techniques have been pretty much like putting training wheels on the bicycles. They tell us, you know, do this and do that and come back next week and learn the next technique and come back next year and learn the next technique and come back again and write me another check and learn a new level of the technique. And it's like telling the child to go down to the store each week and add a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth set of training wheels. They'll never master the bicycle. What we have to recognize is that true mastery of the gift of the technique comes only when we transcend the technique itself.
Yeah.
And the masters have known this, but the teachers haven't. And the problem is we're not being taught by masters today. We're being taught by people who paid to go to a weekend seminar and buy the title of master, but they're teachers, and we can't wait any longer. It's time for us to become the teachers of the teachers. It's time for us to become the light that lights the next light. And just like when you take a candle to light the next candle, tell me, do you ever see that flame doing a technique? Of course not.
No.
You only see that flame standing in the purity and truth, consciousness, and presence of who and what it is, and by doing so, it inspires the next candle and that flame to ignite, and the next to ignite, and the next to ignite. And only when we stop trying to do the healings and instead stand in the truth of simply being the healing, of simply being that light, can we ignite the truth of health and light within each new person with whom we interact.
And that actually changes the concept that I used to subscribe to, that we were the conduit of the energy. But
no,
that's
more.
Incorrect. That is an incorrect concept in my now, as I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm not a conduit.
That, because of the limitation of that. It was good initially.
Yeah.
It was a step past the bigger ego when people used to say, yes, I'm the healer. Then they decided that they were going to slightly, tentatively step out of the ego and say, no, I'm just a conduit. Well, no, we're actually much, much more than that in a different way. We are a catalyst by our very consciousness and our presence and our willingness to stand in the truth and purity and perfection of who we are.
It's funny, too, because as you're sharing this, thoughts go back to the 80s, 1980s, when I was working for a religious radio station. And, of course, people would call in and they would be asking for prayer for their healing for whatever the condition was.
Mm.
And then, of course, there were other programs that would talk about, you know, positive thought and affirmations and those kinds of things. And my mind went, well, wait a minute. If you're asking for your healing, then don't you have to acknowledge that you're sick first before you can ask to get healed from that which you're sick of? And I thought, that seems backwards. If I don't declare that I need healing and I don't declare that I'm sick, then I'm fine. And yet, you know, I think that's more of a mind game than anything. Cause
it is.
We
it's sort
have...
of like what they play with affirmations.
Yeah.
You know, they say, well, be careful when you're making affirmations. You're not asking for something as if you need it, but you're stating it as if you already have it. But then there are so many people who get lost in affirmations and all the details, and be sure to ask for this detail and that detail and the other detail and make it as clear and precise as possible. And, you know, get lost in that concept, too. I remember listening to someone who actually, in all seriousness, she had this real problem, and she stood up at a place and she said, you know what, I've been practicing my affirmations, and I asked for a loving husband and a wealthy husband and a husband who would give me children and would love us and would take care of us and would provide for my parents and be a wonderful conversationalist, and I forgot to ask for one who didn't beat me. Well, you know what? You're not supposed to have to think of every potential loophole. The universe is not trying to catch you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very good point. And then there's the other aspect of this whole process, and that is of not only in terms of that, but there's a teaching that's out now that talks about, you know, making your intention clear. And you only need to do it one time. But if you ever go back and do it again, it's almost as if you're having the universe start all over again from step one. And I'm thinking, I don't know if that's true or not. It just, I mean, that this is kind of going off into a different direction, because the direction I'd really like to go into has to do with this energy, this field, the healing, and how it is codified in what I'll call a catalyst called The Living Matrix, which is a film that's going to be premiering in Los Angeles September 30th at 7:30 p.m., and it's going to be at the Egyptian
Theater. I think it's 7 o'clock p.m.
They're showing 7:30. Maybe it is 7. Nonetheless,
well,
you can go.
Well, it's one of those two.
Well, if you're there
actually,
by 6, you'll be plenty of time. You'll be plenty of time if you get there by 6.
Well, I was going to say, you probably should try to get there by 6 because I believe there's going to be a cocktail reception in advance. It's held at the famed Egyptian Theater that was built in, opened in 1922 on Hollywood Boulevard. It's a landmark.
Well, it's also going to be accompanied by folks such as yourself, people in the film, Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Peter Frazier, Rupert Sheldrake, Marilyn Schiltz, and many others, and there'll be a guest panel discussion following the screening of The Living Matrix. It's a film on the new science of healing, and again, it's premiering on September 30th at seven, they get there early and what have you. There are no previews before this one, okay? It's just going to be the film. And it'll be at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood, California. If you're in the area, go to thereconnection.com. There's a link there. You can go there, find out more, and register and get tickets. And we're looking forward to having the opportunity. We're hoping that we'll be there on that day, that evening.
That would be great. The people in the film include Lynn McTaggart, who's the author of The Field.
Yes, we've had her on the program.
Experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Lipton, who's an amazing teacher, and he's written The Biology of Belief. Marilyn Schlitz, who's the president of IONS, the Institute of Noetic Sciences. Deborah Rosman, who's the president of Quantum InTech, and I think she might also have something to do with HeartMath. Rupert Sheldrake, who is, of course, a famous, world-famous author. And some of these people will be sharing the panel with me after the film. So we'll be able to take questions and answers and talk. But the film opens up with the healing of a 5-year-old child from Greece. Here's what happened. The film, I think, originally was about the science behind healing. And they've got, you know, a few people with some different approaches to healing on there. And apparently the reconnection kept being brought up to them during the course of the year or two that they were preparing this film. Found out about, you know, something beyond energy healing, and they couldn't figure out what it was, and so finally they did reach me, and I flew out. I was in Europe at the time to do an interview, and they asked the usual questions during the interview, and then, of course, they asked the one that everyone asked, which is, what was your most dramatic healing? Because I think people think that I keep, like, my most dramatic healing up on the mantle over my fireplace so I can dust it off if someone asks me. You know, and and it's not that way.
No.
The fact is, your most dramatic healing is virtually always your most recent one. And so I told them, well, I had just flown in. I was speaking at Thessaloniki, Greece, which is the second largest city there in Greece, and I'd given a presentation in a small coliseum, and after the presentation, just as I was getting off the stage, a group of people came and carried this 5-year-old child up who had metal leg braces on. He was unable to stand on his own. His toes could touch the ground, but his heels couldn't. He was scheduled for surgery for that. For him to be able to stand, he'd have to hold on to furniture or hold on to his parents' clothing. He'd have to crawl upstairs or sit down to go downstairs, and he wasn't able to be understood at all. His mother would have to interpret for the family the sounds he would make, what he was probably saying. And so they said, would you do some work? And the parents don't really believe in it, but they've agreed to let you do some work if you would, you know, please be so kind. And I said, all right. So we started to work, but we only had 4 minutes because the amphitheater was shutting itself down, and they told us we had to leave. So at the end of the 4 minutes, the child got up off the table by himself, walked down the steps from the stage, and ascended the entire staircase by himself without touching anyone or anything of the amphitheater. Later on that week, he was able to stand on one leg and spin in a complete circle. He regained the use of his hand, which we didn't realize, I didn't realize that all of his life he was completely unable to use his right hand. He couldn't hug his parents. He couldn't hold his own cup of water. And now he can run and play and speak normally with the rest of his friends. And he is the opening story to the film, The Living Matrix. And you'll hear other healing stories there, and you'll hear researchers talk about how these different approaches to healing work. But realize that this healing took place in 4 minutes, and it will be, most likely, with this child for his entire lifetime, as are pretty much every healing through reconnective healing. And it's not because it happened through me. This is something that after you learn how to access reconnective healing, after that weekend, the 25th through the 27th of September in L.A., you will be able to do this very same thing. Now, look, just like with any, you know, ethical medical doctor or healthcare practitioner, no one can make any promises or guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your doctor makes a promise or a guarantee about a surgery, you know, you might want to run to someone else who knows a little bit better. And the same thing with a healing practitioner, because the reality is it's not the health challenge, it's not the disease that has the healing anyway, it's the person. So
mm-hmm.
three people can come in with the same diagnosis and the same set of symptoms and receive three different sets of results depending on what's most appropriate for that person. But the fact is that in so many cases, these healings are taking place. This is what's causing science to sit up and take notice. And at the same time, science is discovering that the body doesn't heal the way we were taught. I mean, you know, we were taught, most of anyone's listening to the show, you know, most of the doctors and the nurses and other people in healthcare, mainstream healthcare, listening to your program right now, most of them were taught in school the chemical, the biochemical model of healing. And we know today that that model is pretty much dead. We know the body doesn't heal through chemicals. It's just one small little part of the equation. The healing takes place through information, frequency, resonance, and it's communicated via light and energy that floats through the body. And the degree to which I believe in what I like to call the one-cause theory, meaning the degree to which we fall away from perfect health is the degree to which we have temporarily allowed ourselves to forget
yeah.
that we are that light, that we've temporarily forgotten who we are, and all we need to do is remember. And what seems to occur, as the researchers can best understand, with reconnective healing is, since it takes us beyond Qigong and Jiren and Reiki and all the energy healing techniques into a new spectrum of energy, light, and information, it seems to remind us at some level of that natural vibration of light that we are. And once that reminder gets in, something inside of us goes, hey, I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
This is me vibrating as light. I think I'll do it again.
And
as we return to that vibration, anything more dense, anything heavier or denser than light, which tends to include most health challenges, if appropriate for that person at that point in time in their life, has pretty much nothing left to hold on to. So
yeah.
it just falls away. And healing is just that simple. And anything more complicated than that is really just designed to sell us something.
Yeah. Well, we are going to take another break here before we wrap up the program, and we're going to ask a couple more questions before we close out. Again, I just want to remind those of you who are tuning in to the program that there's a special event in Los Angeles. It's Level 1-2 Reconnection Healing Seminar, 25th through the 27th of September. Then on the 30th of September at the Egyptian Theater, it's The Living Matrix. It's a film, the premiere of the new science of healing. And then on October 2nd through the 4th, it's the 7th Annual U.S. Mastery Conference, Science, Consciousness, and Healing, also in Los Angeles. Why don't you just get a room and stay for 3 weeks, okay? And we'll be and we'll be back.
I'm going to be staying there. I'm telling you, I'm leaving for Russia today. I'm coming back just like, you know, 2 days before the event, and then
right.
I'm going to end up staying at the hotel myself, I think.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you there. We'll be back in just a moment here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
Have you lost direction in life? Do you constantly worry or give to others but deny your own heart? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Oh, close. Yes, very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
Okay, stand by. They want to get you a mail road right now before they go. No, go. Stand by.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Tell me your story. New paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And if healing is on the list, and who doesn't have healing on the list in some fashion, then you need to check out TheReconnection.com, TheReconnection.com. Check out these events, the 25th of September in Los Angeles. It's the Reconnection Healing Seminar, Level 1 and 2, The Living Matrix, coming up on the 30th at the Egyptian Hotel in Hollywood, and then October 2nd through the 4th, it's the 7th Annual U.S. Mastery Conference, Science, Consciousness, and Healing in Los Angeles. Eric, before I let you go, and boy, these hours just shoot on by, we look forward to having you back again in the very near future, when you find time in those 45 weeks in the next 52 to land somewhere, hopefully here in California, and maybe come up here to Santa Barbara to do the program live in studio.
That would be fun.
I have a question that I ask just about every one of my guests, and we only have about 2 minutes. You were
a chiropractor. I can't say my first name in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's going to be a challenge, but we'll see if we can't do this. You were a chiropractor many, many years ago. You've done a lot of other things as well, and now you are here with The Reconnection.
No, I haven't.
I beg your pardon?
I said, no, I haven't.
Okay, well.
I was a chiropractor, and then I did this.
And that's it.
That's it. I've gone to the movies. I mean, I don't know how many other things I've done. But anyway, let's not take into the time. Go ahead, ask
your
question.
Well, but you could be doing a lot of other things. Why this? Why
that's
now?
True. Okay. So what's the question?
That's it. Why this? Why now?
Why this? Why now? Oh, my God. Well, I mean, the fact is, well, actually, oh, my God, really is the answer right there, now that I think about it. You know, when the universe speaks to you this clearly, you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the answer. You know, I remember hearing people talk about sometimes that they found their life purpose, and I never knew, you know, is there really a life purpose? Isn't there? And then, you know, as time went on, I realized, well, you know what? If you do find your life purpose and you recognize it, you're really very fortunate. But the fact is, if you're able to live it, you are truly fortunate. And I don't care whether that's a popular word or not. Synchronistic just doesn't necessarily fit the bill here. You are truly fortunate if you're able to find it and live it. I'm able to find it, and I get to live it. I couldn't be happier. I have to do it, not because I'm forced to by anything out of negativity. I have to do it because I'm compelled to do it, because it is who and what I am. Mm.
We thank you for sharing who and what you are with us here on the program. We look forward to having you back again. And we encourage folks to go to TheReconnection.com. That's TheReconnection.com to find out about all of the events. Until next Saturday at this same time, this is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I encourage you to join us every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, and go to RichardDugan.com. Until next week, love, Talal.